Okay, Tov, good morning. We're going to do Zoom on the phone, so anybody wants, because the Wi-Fi is down. Today's class will be for the Fu'ah, Shalema, Wadafanim, Vithlalam. Dinavad Miriam, Fedabar Havavad, Nazan, and Mathan, and Kamil, Kassar, Abad Munir, Shalom, and Sarah, David, Manachan, and Havad, the Brother, Havad, the Havad, the Havad, the Shalom, and Sarah, Prime, and Amish, and Mathan, and Havad, and Yam, you with them, and your father, Hayas, and Kamar, and Mathan, Simcham, Ben, Makam, Ram, and Rahavad, is Ben, Ram, Hana, and Yanabad, and Havad, and Havad, and Okay. We are continuing. Make sure the Zoom is working. Okay. Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel, daf 43. Right? We left off. Let's see where we left off. I think we left off on Mem Bet Amud Bet 42b, towards the middle of the page. The last thing we left off with was we explained Rabbah's opinion. We explained we explained there was going to inheritance for the children. We talked about the different opinions of Rabbi Shimon and how we explained the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. The Gemara now brings a contradiction. Etivin. We're towards the middle of the page on 42b, Membet Amudbet. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im lo hispika ligbot ad shemeta ab. We said in our Mishnah, if she didn't have a chance to collect the money until the father died, the money goes to herself. So the Gemara asks the question, if you say this is mamon and it's not a fine, and it is to inherit to the children, to the sons, meaning her brothers, then why would it go to her? It should really be going to the brothers. Like we just ended on yesterday's daf, how we ended, we explained that it's actually going to the brothers, the father's sons. So why would we say over here, if the father died? So Amar Rava, Rava explains, Hai Milta Kashayba Rabbav Rav Yosef. This topic, Rabban Rav Yosef had a very difficult time answering for 22 years. Esrin Vetartin Shanin, 22 years they had a difficult time. Veloi Parik, and they were not able to answer it. Adi Yativ Rav Yosef Beresha. Until Rabbah, Rashi explains, until Rabbah passes away, and Rav Yosef becomes the Rosh. He becomes the head. He sits at the Rosh of the Yeshiva, is dealing with the head of everyone. And then he was able to answer it. Opir Ka. He was able to answer the Kashya. Shane Hatam, he explained, it's different over there. The Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'natan ha'ish ha'shochev imal avya na'ara ha'mishim kasef, that the man who sleeps with her has to give 50 silver to the father. So the Torah, the Gemara explains, lo ziketa Torah la'av ela mishat netina. The Torah only gave the merit to the father at the time of netina, the time that it's giving to the father. But if the man, her husband, had died, and she hadn't yet collected the fine that we explained in our Mishnah, that she was, any of those fines, she was seduced or she was violated, that she collected the fine. If she hadn't yet collected it, so then it does not go to the father, it would rather go to the daughter, to the woman herself. And then the Gemara says, V'chi ka'amar Rabbah. And when Rabbah was saying, Mamona Havei, that it's considered money, lo horisho lebanav, to inherit it to the sons, Bishar Knesot. That was referring to all other types of fines, not this specific type of fine. So that's where the distinction would be made. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Ela Me'ata, if that's the case, Gabe Eved, by a slave, Dichtiv, it says in the Pasuk, Kesev Shedoshim Shekalim Yiten Adonav. It says, if a person, his ox comes and gores a slave, someone's slave, he has to pay 30 silver to the master. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, lo zikta Torah la'adon ela mishan netina. Did the Torah only give merit to the owner from the time it was given? Meaning, let's say the owner then died. So who would be given to? So, right, Rashi over here explains, if you look at Rashi, no Rashi. But over here, trying to say, over here, by the case of the slave, it's not the same case. By the case of the slave, regardless if the man dies, regardless no matter what, there's always 30, you always pay 30, and you always give it to them. You always pay, right? There's no distinction made between if the father dies before the money was given, before it was collected, or it was after. There's no distinction, it doesn't matter. The Torah says 30, you give 30. So why over here, in this case, by the slave, is it any different? So the Gemara explains, it's a different word in the Pasuk. Right, it says "Iten lechud v'natan lechud." The word about the pasuk about the slave, it says "Iten." You should give. It's a command. Rashi explains, it means "Iten mashman lashon sivui." But when it says in the pasuk about giving to the woman, giving to the father of the woman, v'natan mashma, it says, and you should give, that's not a command. That's something that's natun kvar, it's already given. Meaning something that was already, it's already given, or something that's not a command to be given regardless, no matter what. Rather, if the man is alive, you give it. If not, then not, then it goes to the woman. So that's where the distinction would be made in these two pesukim. So the Gemara says, Yachi, if that's the case, Talmud Amar v'chichesh, why do we need that? On the previous Amud, we said, we brought the pasuk v'chichesh, the guy lied to his friend, there was monetary, withheld wages or whatever he did, and we excluded any case of monetary law. That's what Rabbi Shimon says, that Rabbi Shimon says, if it was he excluded a case of a fine. If it was a fine, Rabbi Shimon said they're excluded from the Korban Shavua, from bringing the sacrifice. So the Gemara says, Talmud Amar v'natan mibayileh, you should say it comes from the pasuk v'natan. So the Gemara says, "Amar Ava ki itzterich v'chichesh." Why do we need the pasuk about v'chichesh that he lied to his friend? Kegon she'amda b'din u'bagera. She went out to the Beit Din. Someone violated her. She went out to the Beit Din to collect the money, and she became a bogeret u'meta, and then she dies. So what happens then? The hatam in that case ki kayarit avia. When the father inherits her in that case, what is he inheriting her on the basis of? Mina dida kayarit. He's not inheriting it because he's the father. He's meaning because he's because of the pasuk that it says it goes to the father. Rather, since she became a bogeret, really she was fitting to receive the money. But since now she dies, so the father is inheriting her based on her, from her side. Since she was supposed to inherit it, he's the next closest thing. So he inherits it based on her, and that's why Rashi goes through a whole explanation how we understand this according to Rabbi Shimon. Simply speaking, that we could not have learned this exclusion from the pasuk of Vinatan, and the Gemara had to use the pasuk of Vechichesh to teach us that you would be excluded from the Korban Shavua, from that sacrifice of a Shavua, of lying, because this actual case is a case of like a fine, essentially. It's really like a deep down, it's really a fine. So the Gemara asks on that, Yachi, if that's the case, Yatsu Elu Shein Kenas, you said from the pasuk v'chichesh, we learned that anything that is a fine is excluded from the korban shavua. So the Gemara says, mamonhu, it's not a fine. Over here we're talking about monetary law. It's not a fine, right? If you look at Rashi, the way Rashi explains it, it's very important. Rashi, kegon she'amda bedin u'bagera, de Rabbi Shimon didahu. When did Rabbi Shimon, the money belongs to her. She went to the Beit Din and she became a bogeret. When was the machlok in the Mishnah? Below he speak alikbot ad shemeta av, that we said until she hasn't collected it. Right? There was a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan and our Mishnah. So the Rashi explains, hachinami palig belo hispika likbot ad shebagera. It's the same machlok if she hadn't yet collected the money and she became a boger. And the kamar tana kama haren shel av, the Rabbanan would say in our Mishnah, the money belongs to the father. Or the Rabbi Shimon harehu shel atzma, Rabbi Shimon says no, it belongs to the daughter. Ve'imeta achareken, if she dies, the arid la avia mikoach tida, the father would inherit her from her side. So this is not v'havim mamon gamur. This is 100% monetary law. That's what I was getting to. It's 100% monetary law. So why did the Gemara say earlier, we use v'chichesh to exclude a case of a fine? This is not a case of a fine. This is a case of monetary law. So the Gemara comes and answers, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yatsu Elu She'ikeran Kenas. No, it's excluding those cases in the Pasuk, v'chichesh ba'amito, right? All of those cases were ikar, that meaning any case that has, that is an ikar knas, that has essential deep down, its foundation is formed from a fine, that would really, which is this case, that would be excluded from the Korban Shavua. Even though it's really monetary law, its foundation comes from a fine. The Gemara says, ATV, we have a contradiction. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon exempted in our Mishnah, Eino Meshalem Knas Al Pi Atzmo, because why? He cannot come and testify and pay a fine based on one's own testimony. So the Gemara says, the reason, ta'ama de lo amad bedin, because they didn't go to the Beit Din, they didn't go to the court. Ha amad bedin, but you can infer from that, that if they did go to the court, de mishalem al piatmo, they would pay based on the woman's own testimony. Right? Or the man's own testimony. So the Gemara says, korban shavua nami mechayev. So the person would also be obligated to bring a korban shavua, the liability of a korban for lying falsely, for swearing falsely. So this goes against what we just said. Rabbi Shimon said you're exempted from bringing it. Now we're saying you're actually obligated to bring it. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Shimon, le divrehem de Rabbanan kamadu. Rabbi Shimon was speaking to the words of the Rabbanan. He says, ledidi, according to my opinion, af agav de amad bedin, even though you went to the courts, rachmana patrei mevechikesh. v'chichesh. Right? The Torah exempted the person from a korban because of the pasuk of v'chichesh. So that's why Rabbi Shimon's opinion is like that. Ela l'didchu, but he says according to you, Rabbanan, odu li mi'at, at least, at the, nevertheless, you should still, you know, agree to me, hecha delo amad bedin, if they did not go to court, dechi katava, knasa katava, that what he is, what she is trying to be tovea from the man is a knas, is a fine. And so therefore, a person cannot be tovea knas based on his own testimony, a fine based on his own testimony. So agree to me, when they didn't go to the court, that that would be, and the guy didn't become liable to the money, that would be exempt. And the Gemara continues on the next Amud, umode beknas patur, and somebody who admits that they did something, when it's a fine, would be exempt. You cannot testify against yourself by a case of a fine to pay. So this is what he's trying to say to the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan says, "V'Rabbanan savri ki katava." What is the guy coming? What is the woman trying to be tovea from the man? Boshet ufgam katava. She's trying to get the embarrassment she lost from being violated or seduced, or the depreciation that was caused. That's what it was, and those aren't fines. So therefore, that can be done mishalem api atzmo, even based on one's own testimony. So the Gemara says, "B'may kami figi." What is the machloket in this case? The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Papa, Rabbi Shimon Savar, Rabbi Shimon holds, lo shavik inish midi dekits. A person would never leave something that is fixed, meaning he has his 50 shekel that he gets that the Torah prescribes for being the woman for being violated. She would never leave that v'tava midi dekits and go and, you know, try to be tovea someone, say you owe me this and that. If it's not a set amount, right? The embarrassment and depreciation, those aren't set amounts. The money that she's owed for being violated, that is a set amount." So that's why he says it's talking about he's going after the fine. Whereas Rabbanan Savri, lo shavik inish midi dechi moidive lo mipater, a person would not leave something that that if he would go to try to convince them that they owe him, right? You owe me money. If they would have admitted it, they wouldn't be exempted, right? Based on their own testimony. He would not go and leave that kind of case, which is talking about boshet and pgam, the embarrassment and the depreciation. V'tava midi dechi moidive mipater. But he would leave something, meaning they wouldn't go after something that if the man would admit, then he wouldn't have to pay because it's a knas, because it's a fine. So that's why they, Rabbanan hold, they're going after a case of the boshet and the pigam, the embarrassment and the appreciation. Ba'amine Rabbi Avina mi Rav Sheshat. Rabbi Avina is a question from Rav Sheshat. And this is pretty much going to be the remainder of the Amud. Okay? So the Gemara says, Bat hanizonet mina achin. If you have a daughter that is now, the father died, and she is now being supported by the estate that was given to the, that was brought down to the children, to the brothers, right? So she's being taken care of by the brothers. So maseya de lami, who do her earnings go to? Does it go to herself, or does it go to the brothers? Does it go to her brothers? So the Gemara says, "B'makom av kaime." Maybe it's the brothers are in place of the father. Mahata maseya de la av. Just like in the case of the father, the earnings go to the father. Achinami maseya de la achin. So to here, the earnings go to the brothers, meaning her brothers. Or dilmar, perhaps lo dami la av, or maybe it's not similar to the father. Hatam midide mitzana. In the case of the father, she is being supported by the father. So that's why it goes to the father. Hacha, but in this case, lav mididu mitzana. She is not being supported by the brothers. She's being supported by the estate that the father left out for the brothers. So really, maybe it's the earnings of her earnings should not go towards the brothers. So the Gemara answers, Amar le tinitua. We taught this already. We're going to see this later on in Mishnah Daf Pe Aleph. The Mishnah over there says, Almana nizonet minichse yetomim. If you have a widow, the husband dies, she's now being supported by the estate of the orphans now that the father passed down. So she's being supported by them. Umaseya dea shelahen, and the earnings that she makes goes towards the orphans. What do you see? It does go towards the orphans. So too, in our case, it should go towards the brothers. This is what Rav Sheshat answered him. So again, Rav Sheshat is of the opinion, maseya dea, the earnings go to the brothers. That's Rav Sheshat's opinion. So the Gemara says, midame, is this even similar? Almanato lo nicha lebarvacha. One's widow, person doesn't want his widow to benefit so much that she gets supported and she keeps the earnings. So for sure the earnings are going to go towards the brothers. The orphans. Whereas bito, one's own daughter, the daughter nicha lebarvacha, one's own daughter, he is okay with the daughter benefiting in getting supported and collecting her own earnings. So it's different. Don't say that these two cases are the same. When it says la memra de bito adifa le malmenato, is that coming to teach us that just a side point that one's daughter is greater than one's widow? Is that what it's saying? Because you're saying the widow, the husband would not want her to benefit the earnings. The daughter, he would want her to benefit the earnings. So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Abba." We have a Gemara on Masechet Baba Batra. Amar Rabbi Yosei. Rabbi Yosei says, "Asu almana etzel abad." They made a widow like a, towards a daughter, kibat etzel achin, like a daughter towards the brothers. Menechasin mu'atin. Whenever there's less an inheritance of less than 12 months of support to support them, so what happens? So the Gemara over there says that the lower end of the people, of the inheritors, get the full inheritance because it's so minute. And we say the other one should go and beg on the, you know, knock on people's doors and beg. So the Gemara says, Ma habat etzel achin, just like the daughter towards the brothers, habat nizonet, the daughter would receive the inheritance, ve'achin yishalu ala petachim, and the brothers would go and knock on doors. Af almana nizonet, etzel abat, so to a widow next to a daughter, let's say a husband leaves over his widow and his daughter, the Gemara over there explains, the widow almana nizonet, the widow gets the inheritance, ve'abat yishal ala petachim, and the daughter will go and knock on doors. So what do you see from here? The widow is more favored, not the daughter. We said the daughter is more favored because she gets to keep her earnings. Now we're saying the widow is more favored. So the Gemara says, le'inyan ziluta almenato adifale. When it comes to ziluta, when it comes to disgrace, the widow is favored. When it comes to le'inyan harvacha, when it comes to, you know, profiting, bito adifale. He wants his daughter to profit more. Why? What would be the explanation to something like that? Why would he want for disgrace the widow to benefit more and for profiting the daughter to benefit more? So I think just a simple explanation is the fiyah pshat, that maybe the widow, she's, you know, she's not going to be able to get married so easily anymore. She's not going to be able to have so much support on her anymore. It's very hard. Maybe she's older or something of the sort. So therefore, he says, in that case, I don't want her to, it's a disgrace for her to go and knock on people's doors. So I'm not going to make her do that. We give her the inheritance. Whereas by the daughter, okay, so the daughter, she can still get married, right? She's still young, she's still this, she's still that. Being that her father died doesn't change so much, she can still get married. So therefore, it's okay, I'll clean it after, it's okay. So that being the case, that won't stop her. Whereas in the other case, the case of the daughter, she, why do we want her to, why would the father want her to profit? Because it's his daughter, right? His own daughter, his own offspring, continuation, he wants her to be able to profit. Whereas the widow, he's saying, listen, you're being supported already by the children. You're not really going to have so much expense. You're not going to work. You're not going to have so much to take care of. So therefore, why, thank you so much, why should we give her a profit also, give her the earnings on top of the support? I think that might be the simple pshat.
Is it the father the one who's paying for the earning of the daughter?
Let's leave the questions to the end. I'll hold the questions. Meitiv Rav Yosef, we have a contradiction. Maaseh adea umetziata. Her earnings and her findings, afa bishe lo gavta, even though she didn't collect them, met ha'av, if the father dies, aran shelachin, they go to the brothers. So what do we explain from there? Tama de v'chaye ha'av. The reason is because they were being, earned during the life of the father. Ha le'achar mitata, but if it was being earned after the life of the father, what do we infer? Le'atzma, it would go to her alone. So the Gemara says, my love benizonet, is that not talking about a case where she is being supported and still the money goes to her? This is against Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat said that no, when she's being supported, the money goes to the brothers. The Gemara says, "Lo, b'she'ena nizonet. She's not being supported over here. That's why the earnings go to her." The Gemara says, "E b'she'ena nizonet. If she's not being supported, then my the memra. What's the chidush? Someone's not being supported. She's working. She doesn't get her own money. Why shouldn't she receive her own earnings?" So, afilu leman da amar. Even according to the opinion that says, "Yachol harav lomar la'eved," person can say to his slave, "Aseimi ve'eni zadnicha. You know, work with me. Do some work for me, and I'm not going to support you." Still, hanemila be'eved knani. That's only a Knanite slave. Delokti ve'imach, because the pasuk doesn't say imach, that he has to help him, right? About of eved ivri, but a Hebrew slave. Dechti ve'imach, as the pasuk says, kisachir ketoshav ye'imach atshnat yovel yavod imach. That you should work with him. You should help him. Right, so it says by a Hebrew slave you should help him. So lo, it wouldn't be the same case. So kol sheken bito, how much more so one's own daughter? A person cannot make such a stipulation. They say that I won't take care of you, but I get your earnings, I get the benefit. Who says such a thing? So clearly, obviously, the daughter, she's not being supported by the brothers or by the father. If she's not being supported by the brothers, let's say, she gets to keep her own earnings. So what's the question here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Ula Lo Nitzicha Ela La Hadafa. We're talking, answer number one is talking about Hadafa. What's Hadafa? She's not being supported by her father, right? But still, she is making more money than she needs in order to support herself. So the halacha is by the father, even though the father's not supporting her, she has to give that ha'adafa, that extra money on top of what's, being supported and what's for her, that extra money goes to the father, right? At this age. Whereas if the father dies, she doesn't have to give that ha'adafa to the brothers. And that would be the nafkamina, that would be the distinction between the father and the brothers. Amar Rava, Rava gives a little bit of a different answer. He says, Gavra Rabba ki Rav Yosef, lo yada deika hadafa. What? A great man like Rav Yosef, we just explained on the previous Amud, that he was 22 years, they weren't able to understand. When he became the Rosh Yeshiva, finally he was able to understand the Kushya and answer it. They called him Oker Harim, they called him the uprooting of mountains, that was his nickname. So he wasn't able to know that this was a hadafa. He says, Vikamotiv tiuftan, he's asking a contradiction. Ela, it must be a different reason why he's contradictory over here. Ela, Amar Rava, Rava says, Rav Yosef matnitin gufa kashya. He had a difficulty, Rav Yosef, on the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah said, "Dekatani maaseh adeah umetziata." It said her findings, her earnings and her findings. Afal bishelo gavta, even though she didn't collect them. The Gemara asks, "Metziata miman gavya?" Who does one collect their earnings from? You're not collecting your earnings from anyone. Earnings, she's earning by working. So the Gemara says, "Ela, this is what it means." Lav hachi kamar, isn't this what it means? Maaseh adeya ke metziata, her earnings are like her findings. Ma metziata v'chaye, sorry, I misworded. Metziata miman gavya. The findings, when she finds something, who is she collecting it from? She goes in the street, she finds something. She collected it from someone. Earnings, I understand you collecting. Findings doesn't make sense. You're finding it on the street, you find something. So there's no collecting by finding. So the Gemara explains, Ela lav hachi kamar, is not what it means. Maaseh adeya ke metziata. The earnings are like the findings. Ma metziata v'chaye av la'av. Just like one's findings. During the lifetime of the father, they go to the father. Le'achar mitata av. After the death of the father, le'atzma, goes to herself. Af ma'asei adeah, so to her earnings. Nami v'chaye av la'av. In the life of the father, goes to the father. Le'achar mitata av le'atzma. After the life of the father, it would go to herself. Shma mina. And that is what we're coming to teach us over here. So really, after the father dies, the earnings now come to her herself. So unlike that previous opinion, Rav Sheshat, who said that really the earnings go to the brothers, really here it's saying, no, the earnings really go to herself. This is going to be a machloker, we're going to come back to it. Itmar Nami was also taught, Maaseh adeya le'atzma, her earnings go to herself. Amar Rav Kahana, what's the reason? My tama. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, V'nachaltem, nachaltem, otam, nebilechem, acharechem. You inherit this to your boys after you, meaning talking about Canaanite slaves. Only those slaves, but you don't inherit, the sons don't inherit their sisters, right? Magid she'en adam morish v'sechut b'ito livno. Means that a father does not give the merit of the son to now benefit the sister's earnings. That's not how it works. So the Gemara says, matkif la rabba, he has a contradiction. Ve'ema, why don't we say this pasuk is talking about the pitui habat v'knasot v'chabalot. Let's say this pasuk is talking about the seducing of the daughter, fines, or chabalot, or damage, let's say pain that was caused to her, that's, you know, that has to be rejuvenated, has to be paid for, personal pain. So why don't we say that, akatu medaber, why don't we say that that's what the pasuk is talking about? V'chen tana, Rav Chanina, also Rav Chanina taught, v'pitui habat, knasot, v'chabalot, akatu medaber, it's talking about seducing of the daughter, fines, and personal pain. So the Gemara says, chabalot, tsara de gufaninu. What do you mean, that's what the pasuk is talking about? I mean, chabalot, someone's personal pain, that obviously does not go towards the father. Rashi explains, Sa'ara lo zacheh le'rachman ala'av. The Torah did not merit the pain, the personal pain that was given to the daughter, to go to the father. So how could it be that you're saying this pasuk is talking about inheriting, that it goes really now, is going down to the, you know, it's an inheritance, it's the father, what he's receiving from the daughter, and now he's passing down this inheritance to his sons, which they don't receive certain things. So how can we say it's talking about these things if the father himself doesn't even acquire these things? The father doesn't acquire the benefit of a personal pain that goes to his daughter. So the Gemara says, just a side point, I mean, over here, Rabba asked a question. He says his difficulty was, why don't we say the pasuk is talking about pitoye habat, the seducing of the daughter, fines, and personal pain? The Gemara asked the question, okay, but personal pain is not even going to the father. But that doesn't answer the kushya. He asked the kushya, why don't we say the pasuk is talking about X? You're saying that this one part of X is actually not meriting to the father, but that still doesn't explain why the pasuk is not talking about it. So the kushya, the difficulty of it that was asked by Rabbah, is not answered. And all of the Rishonim jump on this, not to get too much into it, just to make that point clear. A lot of the Rishonim jump on this point, that the difficulty of it that was asked is not answered at the end. Right? So the Gemara answers the side point, Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, Shepatza'a Befanea. Someone came and punched her in the face. So now who gets the bodily injury that was caused to her by being hit in the face? where would the benefit come from? Meaning, who would be taken down from it? So Rashi explains, since now her value is being taken down, because now she is not as, she's taken down in value by being hit in the face. So the father now, he has to take the loss. Because if the father wants to sell her, she gets sold for less. He wants to sell her as a maidservant. Someone comes and he wants to auction off a little daughter. So I want this one. She's not so nice. I'll pay you less. I'm not going to pay you as much. So now she lost value. So the father loses out on his sale because his daughter gets punched in the face. But again, that kushya that Rabbah asked did not get answered. Very important. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Rav. So Rav Zera said in the name of Rav Matna, in the name of Rav. Ve'amrila, and some say differently. Amar Rebbi Zera, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Rav. What's the difference? Rabbi Zera, same in the name of Rav Matna, in the name of Rav. What's the difference between the two opinions? Who says it? So the difference is, Rashi explains, very important. Is it Rav Zera or Rabbi Zera? Is it two different people? No. Rashi says it's the same person. Rashi explains that before they got to Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, they were considered Rav. They hadn't yet been given smicha. There was no smichud. There was no given smicha in Eretz Yisrael for, be able to, for a person to collect fines and be a dayan in court, to be able to collect fines or give out fines for a person to be done, to be judging cases of fines. So there was no smichut for that. So they were called Rav. Once they got to Eretz Yisrael and there was smichut, then he became Rabbi Zera. So it's the question is, was it said when he was Rav Zera in Babel, or was it said when he came to Eretz Yisrael and he became Rabbi Zera? That's the Rashi.
The title, not the title.
Right. So the Gemara says, "Bat hanizonet min achin." If a daughter is being supported by the brothers with the father's estate, maaseh adeh le'atzma. The earnings go to herself. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, "Vinachalatem otam lebnechem acherechem." You inherit this to your sons after you, the Canaanite slaves. Otam lebnechem, only the slaves, velo benotechem lebnechem, but not the daughters. Magid she'en adam morish zechud bitol livno. Person does not give over the merit of his daughter to his sons. So Amar le avimi bar papei. Shekod Amira. He said, the diligent one said this phrase. So the Gemara says, Shekod Manu. Who is this diligent one? So Shemuel, he answered, he says, talking about Shemuel. The Gemara says, HaRav Amira. It wasn't Shemuel who said this. It was Rav who said this. We just brought a braita, two different braitas that said, Rav said this phrase. The Gemara says, Ema Av Shekod Amira. Even the diligent one said this. Meaning, even Shemuel said this. They both agreed, Rav and Shemuel in this case. Amar Mor Bar Amemar, the Rav Ashi. Hachi Amri Naradai, that's what the Naradai say. Ilchatak, Kavatei, the Rav Sheshat. The halacha follows, let's go back. Halacha follows the opinion of Rav Sheshat. What did Rav Sheshat say? Rashi explains. Rav Sheshat said that if, let's say, the brothers are supporting her, who does the earnings go to? Rav Sheshat said it goes to the brothers. That was Rav Sheshat's opinion. Another opinion, Rav Ashi Amar, Ilchatak, Kavatei, the Rav. Rav Ashi says, no, halacha is like Rav. The earnings, even if the brothers are supporting her, the earnings go towards herself. And the Gemara ends by saying halacha follows the opinion of Rav. So really we had a machloket, if let's say the brothers are supporting her, who the earnings go to? Does it go to the brothers, does it go to her? Rav Sheshat says it goes to the brothers, and Rav says it goes to her. Let's continue, let's keep going. We have extra time. New Mishnah. Ha-me'areset bito. If someone engages off his, betroths off his daughter, ve'girsha, and then she gets a divorce. Or irsa v'nitar mina, or he betroths her, and she becomes a widow. Ketubata shelo. The ketubah goes to him, because she didn't get married to the father. His si'ah, if he marries her off, ve'girsha, and she gets a divorce. His si'ah v'nitar mina, or he marries her off, and she gets the widow. Ketubata shelo. The ketubah goes to herself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, HaRishona Shelav, the first marriage, the ketubah goes to the father. Amru lo, the rabbi said to him, Mishihisiya ein la'aviyah reshutba. Once the father marries her off, there's no more jurisdiction. The father does not get the ketubah once he marries her off, that's it. So the Gemara says, Ta'ama dehisiya v'girsha. The reason the Mishnah said, she got married and then she got divorced. Hisiya v'nitar mela, she got married and then she became a widow. Why didn't it say she became a widow twice? Aval nitar mela trezimne, because if she got married twice and she got widowed twice, she would not be able to marry anymore. Why? The Agav Orchei Kasatim was coming to teach us on this way. It was teaching us Satimlan Tana. The Tana was teaching us Kerebi, like the opinion of Rebi that he says. It's a whole discussion in Masel Bava Metzia. It's a big masloken. If we say Betrei Zimnei Havya Chazaka, Rebi is of the opinion two times if something happens, it becomes a chazakah, it's a status, person can no longer do it anymore. We generally hold, I mean, it depends on the case. So sometimes we say two, majority of the time, a lot of times we say three times is a chazakah, but for isurim, a lot of times we say even by two things, it would make a chazakah status. So therefore, if she married and got widowed twice, she would not be able to marry anymore because now she becomes a
katlanit.
Exactly, she becomes a katlanit, and therefore, anyone she marries, we're afraid the husband will die. Okay, Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Harishona Shelav. The first ketubah goes towards the father. So the Gemara comes and says, "My ta'amad Rabbi Yehuda." What's the reason for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabban Rabbi Yosef, Rabban and Rabbi Yosef both say the Amri Tarvayu. They both say, "O'il u'mishad erusin zechav ve'na'av." Since at the time of betrothal, the father inherited it, he married it, so that's why it goes towards the first one goes to the father. So Meitiv Rava. Rava is a contradiction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Harishona shel av, the first marriage, it goes to the father. Umoder b'yuda b'me'areset bito, where Yehuda agrees, if a man engages his wife off, his daughter off, k'shehi ketana, when she's a little girl, u'bagiran, she becomes a boger, she becomes 12 and a half, v'achar kach niset, and afterwards she gets married, she'en la v'yareshut ba, the father does not get any jurisdiction over the ketubah. So am I? Why? Hachinami, say the same thing over there. Lema, you should say, since at the time of engagement she was a child and the father got the zechut, she got the merit to own the collection, to collect the ketubah, really, even though she got married after she was a bogeret, still since she became inherited, the father inherited when she got engaged as a child, he should inherit it, the ketubah, even after she gets married. So the Gemara says, "Ela I itmar hachi itmar." This is what we're meant to say. Rabban Rabbi Yosef gave a different answer. Rabbi Yosef, which if you remember on the beginning of the daf, were the same two gedolim we brought earlier that couldn't figure out that kushiyah for 22 years. So the Amri Tarvayu, they both say, "Ho'il u'birshuto nichtavim." Since it was written, the ketubah was written in his jurisdiction, that's why he merits it. A different answer than we brought earlier, that it was while she was engaged, he got the merit. So the Gemara says, "Umigba me'emat gavyan." When does she get the zechut to be able to collect? She gets her zechiyah, her merit of collection of the ketubah. So Amar Rav Huna, mane matayim min erusin. The 100 or 100, depending on the ketubah, it comes from the erusin.
100 or 200.
Yeah, 100 or 200, it comes from the erusin, from betrothal already. V'tosefet, and the addition that the chamim instituted, let's say the extra 100 that they added, 100 zuz, min anisuin, that would be from nisuin. Rav Asi says, no, echad ze min nisuin. Both of them is actually from marriage. So the Mar asks on Rav Huna, the first opinion. O mi amar Rav Huna, hachi, did Rav Huna really say this? Veha itmar was taught, hotzia alav shtei ketubot. If they brought out two ketubot, you know, the woman brought two ketubot, achad shel matayim, veachad shel shalosh mil. One was 200 zuz, one was 300 zuz. She had two ketubas. Okay? What happens? The Amar Ravuna says, "Bata ligbot matayim." If she came to collect the 200, gova mizman rishon. She would collect it from the earlier date, right? Shalosh mot. If she was coming to collect the 300, gova mizman sheni. She would collect it from the later date. Veim ita. And if it really is the way Ravuna holds, that he says that the first obligation is from the first time, and the tosefet, the second one, is from the second time. So we should say the same thing over here. Tikbe matayim mizman rishon. You should say she collects 200 from the first one. Umea mizman shani, and 100 from the second one. Really, it's not that she's owed 500. You should say that, it's not that she's owed 200 and 300. She's owed 200 and an extra 100, which makes it 300. So get 200 for the first time, and then 100 for the second time, if that's what you're holding, Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, okay, according to you, tikbi 500 kulam. She should collect the full 500. Why are you saying only collecting 300? Matayim mizman rishon. She should collect 200 from the first time, the earlier date. Tlatmea and 300 mizman sheni from the second time. Why doesn't it say that? Ela 500 ma'itama lo gavya. Why don't we say she collects the 500? Kevan de lo katavla, since it was not written in the ketubah, in the second ketubah, tziviti vosifit lach tlatmea amatayim. I willed and I added to 300 to the 200. It didn't write that in the second ketubah. So hachika amarla, this is what the husband was really saying to the girl. Im isman rishon gaviat, if you are collecting from the first time from the earlier date, gavya matayim, you should collect 200. Im isman sheni gaviat, if you're collecting from the second time, the later date, gavya tlatmea, you should collect 300.
Not both.
Hachanami, so too in our case, hainu ta'ama delo gavya. This is the same reason why she does not collect the 200 from the date of the first ketubah and 100 from the date of the second ketubah. Why? Midelo katavla, since he didn't write for her in the ketubah, osifid lach me'a amatayim, I'm willing and adding on the 100 onto the 200, achule achilte leshivuda kama. he's letting go of that first lien, that first shi'ibud, what he's owing to her. So let's just read this last Rashi and finish off. Hachinami, hachinami, midelo katav ve'osifit la. I'm adding on to her. He didn't write, I'm adding on mea amatayim, 100 onto 200 kamay on the original. Ela katav zman sheni lakol ha-shaloshman. He wrote a second time for all the 300. Ve'lo bilashon mosif al ashtar, not adding on the shtar rishon. Shma mina achilte l'shibuda kama. He's letting go, he's relinquishing on the first lien. Ve'im bat ligbot shtar ha-sheni, if she's coming to collect the second document, tigbe mizman sheni, she could collect it from the second date. Aval gabe tosefet, by the case of a tosefet that we said, the Chachamim instituted that she adds a tosefet, that the man adds a tosefet onto the ketubah, ha-mosif bekol ketubah, that's written on all ketubot, al mane matayim, let's say you add 100 on the 200, kotvin bo, we write on that second ketubah, I'm adding on this 100 to the 200 based on what the Chachamim instituted. But that's not the same case over here, because that is a tosefet, and this is a completely different case of what it's talking about. So, you know, I went to Shiur last night, or Rabbi Leibowitz, I asked him, how well should a person really learn the daf? He said, for a person to really well learn the daf, it's not a matter of amount of times, even though you need to do repetition. The most important thing is to have a nice recap of the daf. So I want to try to institute something every day, Bili Neder, 1 minute at the end, just to go over in general what the daf was about. So we went back, we were going back from yesterday's daf, we were going on the different opinions of Vinatan, Ve'iten, we're going different opinions, but essentially the majority of the daf was the question of if a woman is being supported by the estate of the father, but it's in the brother's hands, she's being supported by the brothers, and she has earnings. Who do the earnings go to? We had a big machloket between Rav Sheshat and Rav. Rav Sheshat said it goes to the brothers, and Rav said no, it really goes to her. With the Gemara ended saying hilchatal halacha is it goes to her herself. Then we brought a new Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about if a man marries off his daughter, so once he marries her off, she has full jurisdiction. The ketubah goes to her entirely. Whereas if he only engages her off, we said that he still has jurisdiction over. There was an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah also, and the Gemara talked about what is a chazakah, and we spoke about if a chazakah making a status is doing something twice, or if something is being done three times, but essentially that was the recap of the daf, the machloket at first, the new Mishnah, and the discussions after that. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.